Chapter 1. How come, when you know how important it is, you still get it wrong? Tom knew he'd set off too late for the airport. One more phone call, a last-minute panic to find his project notes, and a final cup of coffee with a perfect procrastinator's menu for what he now had on his plate. Frustrated and anxious, he was sitting on the express shuttle to the terminal, watching the seconds tick away and cursing himself yet again for not leaving the house earlier. Check-in was due to close an hour before departure, and things weren't looking good. He bounced nervously on the balls of his feet, his lean frame pressed against the tightly closed doors, almost willing the train to go faster. Finally! As they pulled in, Tom was the first out and running up the escalator and straight into the check-in area. While Tom was burning up every last ounce of energy, sprinting to the desk, a man in his 50s, dressed in an expensive-looking dark linen suit with a crisp open-neck shirt, was quietly talking on his phone and making notes with an elegant silver fountain pen on that day's copy of the business pages. He politely declined a cup of coffee, with a smile and a wave of the hand, and stayed totally focused on his conversation. As Tom arrived at the check-in desk, his heart sank as he realized there was no one else queuing. Was he too late? He smiled hopefully at the blonde woman at check-in while handing over his passport and ticket, and she gave them a quick glance. "I can check you in here, but you're too late for me to allocate you a seat. If you go straight to gate number 13, you'll be on standby, and they'll give you more information. Quick as you can, please, as the flight's closing." Tom momentarily worried about that number 13 as yet another bad sign on a less than perfect day so far, but grabbed his briefcase and set off at a run to the far end of the terminal for the departure gate. Hot and sweaty, but not too out of breath, he arrived to see a line of passengers already getting on the plane. Approaching the man at the desk, he explained the situation, expecting to board immediately. The attendant's name tag read Andrew, and he had a soft Scottish burr, as he explained to Tom that he'd have to wait until the last passenger had boarded before they could seat him. So he waited, with an increasing feeling of dread, that actually there'd turn out to be no seat at all. Andrew kept glancing over and smiling reassuringly and turned his attention to the man who had just strolled unhurriedly up to the gate. It was the man Tom had observed earlier at check-in. He really looked like a man who was used to the best things in life. Andrew greeted him respectfully but with familiarity and appeared to be asking him some questions. The man glanced round and looked at Tom with a warm smile, then turned back and nodded. As he went through to the plane, Andrew beckoned Tom over to hear the words he'd most feared. "I'm sorry, sir, but the flight is full, and all the tickets in economy are assigned." "I knew it," thought Tom. "This is not my day." As his face mirrored his disappointment and frustration, Andrew quickly spoke again. "Not to worry, sir, you're a frequent flyer with us. We can upgrade you, as there is a seat in business class. The gentleman who's just gone through normally books two seats, and he's agreed to let you have one. That means we can upgrade you to seat 1B, the second best seat on the plane, and really a much better way to travel. Have a good flight." Smiling, he handed over the boarding card and removed the rope barrier for Tom to go through. Hardly able to believe his luck, Tom went on board, where he was ushered quickly to his seat, and he strapped himself in for imminent takeoff. He was rushed and agitated, but these days it wasn't a new feeling, and he nodded gratefully to the man who was now his travelling companion. He couldn't help noticing that he looked calm and relaxed, so Tom took a steadying breath as he turned to him. "I really appreciate you doing this for me. It would have been disastrous if I'd missed the flight. Thanks very much." He held his hand out, and they exchanged a quick, firm handshake. His companion smiled at him in a friendly fashion and replied, "No problem. Perhaps we should introduce ourselves as we're going to be together for quite some time. My name's Michael, Michael Redford, and it's good to have some company." He looked inquiringly at Tom as two stewardesses passed them, checking that the overhead lockers were closed and that everyone was wearing their seatbelts. "I'm Tom, Tom McMillan. Lucky for me, there was a spare seat because, to be honest, I only got bumped up because I was too late to get into the regular seat I'd booked. So, thank you again. Michael was settling himself comfortably. Hey, like I said, it's no problem. I always have two seats booked in case my assistant travels with me, or just to have a bit more breathing space. He looked at Tom inquiringly. Did you have a problem with transport? I hear there was a big traffic hold-up on the main road out of the city. No, it wasn't the traffic. I just kept getting delayed when I was trying to leave. Too much to do, and I always seem to be in a rush these days. Michael nodded sympathetically. In my younger days, I was always rushing too, so I remember what it's like. And as I said, I'm happy to help out. Michael settled himself back and adjusted his seatbelt, as Tom ran his hands over the leather upholstery and smiled in relief and delight at this unexpected comfort. The stewardesses were now demonstrating the safety procedures, and as Tom looked round, his neighbour unhurriedly uncapped his pen and took a leather-bound notebook out of his pocket. Tom slipped a book out of his pocket and reflected that at least he had the chance to read in comparative quiet. It was a business success book he'd picked up earlier, one of the many he'd looked at over the last few months. Some had been useful, but none had managed to help him see what to do about his current situation. He knew he wanted more from his life. He knew he wanted to make a real success of it. Before starting to read, he studied the back cover closely. Could it be, he thought, that this might be the book to give him clues as to how to get out of the potentially disastrous situation he was in? It had been brewing for the last 3 months and was now definitely coming to the boil. He turned the book over, preparing to read, and Michael glanced over in an interested fashion as he caught sight of the title, Think and Grow Rich. That's an interesting choice of book. You don't see many young men reading that these days. Napoleon Hill can teach you a lot. He smiled at Tom. It'll give you some of the tools to make a real success of your life. I learnt a lot from reading that book at the very beginning of my career, and I see you want to know the secret too. Tom was intrigued. He hadn't heard of this particular book before he bought it, and he was surprised Michael had heard of the author. No one at his software company had ever mentioned reading about business success. In fact, reading anything other than project manuals was seen as weird. I picked it up yesterday, he said, but I thought it was new. His companion smiled. Well, actually, it's been around a very long time. Written in the 1930s, I believe. But it certainly helped me learn the principles that made all the difference to how my life developed. In fact, I believe it gave me some of the guiding principles that helped in my own business success. I hope it does the same for you. The plane was now taxiing down the runway, and as Tom glanced out of the window, he glimpsed the open page where Michael had begun making notes. It looked like calculations that had quite a lot of noughts on the end, and Tom wondered just how successful Michael was. That remark about the secret was certainly interesting. But would he be willing to actually tell Tom what it was? Really, Tom thought, all I need are a few clues on how to move forward. As he hesitated, the unfastened seatbelt's light went on, and as he unbuckled, he wondered how to approach the subject. Michael helped him out by leaning forward and asking, "So, what kind of business are you in, Tom?" This was a question Tom had recently been asking himself fairly frequently. And he'd even started to wonder if in fact he really was in the right business. He debated just how much to tell Michael and was on the point of giving a short, snappy answer when he suddenly thought, what have I got to lose? I might as well get another perspective on it. This guy's obviously successful, so he might be able to give me some good advice. I'm an IT project manager. Well, I am at the moment, but this trip may be the last for the company, as there's a lot of change going on right now, and there's some talk of downsizing and redundancy. It may not affect me directly, but if I'd missed this flight, it wouldn't have looked good for me. I'm not looking forward to the job I've been given to do on this trip, but it wouldn't be any easier if I'd missed the flight and delayed it. I'd rather just get it over with. Business is often about doing things you'd rather not do, said Michael. I believe that if I'm not working on something I'm passionate about or believe in, then it can seem like an uphill struggle. What's the unpleasant task, if you don't mind my asking? Tom realized that he was only too happy to talk about it, particularly to a stranger who wasn't involved. No, I don't mind. In fact, it's good to be able to talk about it. I'm going to close down our regional office and get everything transferred back to base. It's been running down for a while now, but it's not the work so much as the people. Some of them may not get other jobs, and things aren't looking good for the company at home either. At the moment, it feels like I'm chasing my tail the whole time. Sounds frustrating, remarked Michael sympathetically and encouraging him to go on. Tom nodded in agreement. That's my constant state these days. The problem is I work in software development, and it changes so fast it's hard to keep up. It's like being on a treadmill. Just when you think you're getting somewhere, another new product comes in, and you have to start all over again. I'm really struggling to stay on top of it, and to be honest, things are just not going that well. The rumours of redundancy or redeployment within the company make it all the more uncertain and hard to keep focused on what you're doing. It's difficult to feel you're making a success of something when you're mostly just running to keep up. I've been reading a lot of business success books recently, but just how to change things seems to be eluding me. He sighed quietly. I wish I knew what to do about it. Suddenly embarrassed by his confidence to a stranger, Tom hurriedly tried to change the subject. But Michael didn't react the way he would have expected. He just shrugged and said, You know, that's often how it is in life. Success and failure are two sides of the same coin, and I believe it can be flipped over whenever you choose. Tom wondered if Michael had actually heard what he'd said. The possibility of being made redundant or his job downgraded certainly didn't give him the feeling that he had control over his current situation. Deciding whether he was going to be a success or a failure, well, that certainly wasn't how it appeared to him. It was the company who had all the options, from what he could see. So he decided to challenge Michael about it. Surely success is a matter of luck to some degree. You can't just turn it around. It isn't always within your control. Circumstances can prevent you, he said, facing Michael with a questioning look on his face. On the contrary, Tom, I believe that success is based on 8 sound principles, or insights if you like, that once learned and applied can do just that. I believe it is always in your control. Whether you choose to exercise it, of course, is up to you. Michael smiled at Tom's obvious skepticism. You don't believe me, do you? Well, tell me a bit more about your problem at work, and I'll see if I can help. Tom felt suddenly optimistic, but quickly pushed it aside. He'd spent too many months worrying about his situation to believe that there could be an easy answer just like that. However, this was a great opportunity, and he must have been put in this seat for a reason, so why not take advantage of it? He indicated to the pen and notebook and said, It looks as if you're planning on doing some work, so I don't want to interrupt you. But, yeah, I'd really like to get another opinion. Michael nodded and put the notebook and pen down. Okay, what's the real problem? Tom was taken aback. Well, Michael said, in my experience, the actual thing you think is the problem is usually just a sign of something deeper that's wrong, so I like to get to that first. It saves time. Tom laughed at that and thought for a moment. Well, I've wondered if it's my job. I'm a project manager in an IT company, as I said, but I don't really like going in anymore. I dread the constant repetition of the stuff I do, and each day is the same, chasing deadlines and never having a moment to breathe. But if it's not my job... His voice tailed off, and he tried to think about what Michael had said. The real problem, I think, is that I feel stuck and bored. I'm frustrated, and although I want something better, different, I don't know where to start. He gestured towards the book in his lap. I told you I've been reading books like this for a while now, and although I know there's a better future out there, I just don't know how to get there. Michael nodded in agreement. Well, the good news is that you're absolutely right. There is a better future, and there are clues to help you find it. Let's see if I can help you identify what those clues are. Take myself, for example. What do you see when you look at me? Tom wasn't sure what reply Michael was hoping for, but he looked at him and debated for a moment or two about the impression Michael had made on him. "Well, I see a man who's obviously very successful in business, used to the good life and all its benefits. Like travelling in the best seat in the plane. Probably privately educated, then university. Probably a serious business background. And someone who likes beautiful things." He indicated the pen. "I don't know much about it, but that looks like a valuable antique to me." "You're right about the pen," said Michael, as he ran his finger over the silver scrollwork on the body. "I bought that when I made my first million, and it combines form and function with beauty, and that's what's important to me. But as for the rest, if I was to give myself a label, I'm an entrepreneur, and I certainly wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. In fact, my family sold things from a stall at an open-air market, and I left school at 16 with no qualifications at all. You see, Tom, I believe it's a person's experience and what they do with it that matters, not where they come from or how educated they are." Michael saw Tom was looking quite surprised. "It's not what you expected, is it?" Tom shook his head and then smiled. "You're right. I didn't think you were an entrepreneur. Maybe a CEO of a major corporation or something similar, but not that. You know, I've often thought about running my own business, but I lose heart because it always seems like the people doing it possess something above and beyond the rest of us. They had to have special qualities. Things I don't think I have." Michael looked at him. "You're right, they do have special qualities, but they're the same ones that everyone else has. You already have all of them. It's whether you choose to use them and how you do it that makes the difference between having an entrepreneur or an employee mindset." Tom noticed he was looking at him seriously, as if weighing him up. "Tom, let me ask you a question. Which mindset do you think you have? That of a millionaire or an employee?" Tom was startled and wondered how on earth to reply. "I'm not really familiar with the concept. Can you expand on that a bit?" "Sure," Michael said. "Okay, I believe we're all born potential millionaires. It's our genetic destiny to achieve because we are a race of positive creators. You know, everything we see has been created in our minds first, and if you think about it, to be an entrepreneur means that you have to create something out of nothing. Everyone has the ability. But the problem is that most people are only using a tiny fraction of their potential. Most people are stuck in the mindset they've inherited from their parents, and that's the first thing that has to change. They usually teach us to get a good education and qualifications, so we can get a good job where we'll be promoted and build a solid pension. Certainly that's safe, but very few people I know have ever achieved financial freedom in that way." "But hang on a minute," said Tom. "Are you saying those are bad things?" "Not good or bad, but what I just described is the employee mindset, where you work for someone else and they dictate how, when, and where you work. How many people in regular jobs are there who get to be a millionaire just from their salary?" "Well, apart from a handful of high-flying financial city types, not many." Michael went on. "The millionaire mindset is a 180-degree shift from the employee mindset, so that you're following your passion, not your pension. You get so obsessed with your business idea that you just can't stop thinking about it. You're so excited by it. Do you understand the difference?" Whilst Tom understood it, he was still not sure how it could be applied to him. "How do I switch from one to the other?" "Well, Tom, you work in IT, so this should be really simple for you. I said you need to change your mindset, and the mind is just a computer. So all you need to do is reprogram it with some new software." Grateful to Michael for using an analogy he could relate to, Tom started to relax. "Oh, I can do that all right." He was now alert and interested, and stood up to get his briefcase out of the overhead locker. Michael glanced questioningly up at him, and looking down over his shoulder, Tom explained, "I have the feeling that things you're saying could be really important to me. If you don't mind, I'd like to write them down so I don't forget them." Smiling, Michael tore out the page from his notebook with his calculations on and handed the notebook over to Tom. Here, use mine. I always carry a notebook because, as you just found out, you never know when you need to write down something that's inspired or interested you, or a great idea strikes you. Tom held the slim notebook in his hand and then pulled a pen from his jacket pocket and started to write down the key things that Michael had told him so far. Okay, I understand the difference between millionaire and employee mindset, but there must be more to it than that. Nodding, Michael watched Tom's notes appearing on the page. Of course, and you also need to know much more about the 8 clear principles or elements. Anyone can apply them, but most people don't do it for a variety of reasons, or they only apply a couple. He waited until Tom had written down 8 principles, and then he went on. Do you remember as a child ever seeing at the circus someone spinning plates on sticks, starting with 1 or 2 and ending up with 6 or 8, all going at the same time? He didn't immediately see the relevance of a circus act in their conversation, but Tom was realizing that Michael never said anything without a good reason, so he nodded in agreement. You saw those plates in the air and they were all spinning at once. The juggler had to pay attention to every single plate, not just the ones nearest to him. If he let his focus slip or didn't pay them equal attention, then what happened? They fell crashing round his ears. Tom jotted down another note, and then heard the slight rattling sound of a drinks trolley approaching them. One of the stewardesses he had seen earlier approached them and offered Tom a glass of champagne. Michael was clearly well known to her, and she handed him a beer without being asked. Never been much of a champagne man, smiled Michael. He then greeted the stewardess with easy familiarity, asked how she was doing, and inquired about how her husband was coping with early retirement. Tom realized that Michael was indeed a very frequent traveler and well known to the airline staff. The stewardess smiled back, delighted at him remembering their last conversation, and said everything was fine. Her husband was finally doing all the things he'd really wanted to do, and that she was looking forward to early retirement too, so she could join him. This was obviously a familiar joke between them, and Michael teased her as she prepared to move down the cabin. Olivia, you know you can't retire until I do, and that's not for quite a few years yet. Tom raised his glass to his nose and sniffed appreciatively at the flowery bouquet. He made a toast to Michael as he drank. Well, here's to the champagne lifestyle. You don't get this in economy. If this is what being a successful entrepreneur is like, then I'm all in favour of it. Michael laughed and said, So that's why you're reading Think and Grow Rich. I admit the title might make you think it's all about money, but if you think fine wines and luxury are what primarily motivates entrepreneurs, then you're wrong. Of course, only a fool would say that money isn't important. But it's not as important as why you want to run your own business and the passion that drives you to do it. Tom objected. Come on, surely the money is why everyone does it. Michael shook his head. No, it's why people think they want to do it, but without all the other principles coming into play, you'll never be successful over the long term if all you're focusing on is the money. Remember the juggler. It's never about just one plate. Tom was really intrigued now. The money would certainly help me. I'm in danger of losing my job, and Julie, my fiancée, and I are planning on marrying next year. Michael nodded. Of course it would help, but what I'm really saying is that if you find out what drives you, then you have a chance to be successful beyond what you can imagine. He thought for a moment and then continued. Let me ask you a question. Why do you work in IT rather than in any other profession? I guess I just drifted into it, replied Tom. I'd never say I was passionate about it, but I was generally interested, and, more importantly, I needed some income after university. It had a great salary, and when I was offered the job, I had a huge student debt and credit card bills. So I suppose you could say that in many ways I did it for the money. Okay, I'll give you that. And is it still a good salary? Asked Michael. Yes, it is, Tom agreed. Then if it was just about the money for you, why are you not satisfied now? Remarked Michael. I believe that it's because deep down, success as an entrepreneur is never about the money. It's about freedom, choice, proving yourself, doing things your own way, creating what you need to create. Tom was really struck by the sincerity and depth of passion in Michael's voice. This was something that he absolutely believed in, and he started jotting down the key words as Michael continued. When an entrepreneur starts a business, they usually need to do it because the pain they feel of not doing it is so great, or the pain of carrying on for the rest of their lives as an employee is so great, that they have no real alternative. Of course, it's also true that money plays a part in it. When you have no money and the prospect of having some is great, then the need for money is a good driver. But I meet very few successful entrepreneurs who just do it for the money. Tom was looking thoughtful, so Michael pressed on. You, on the other hand, are working just to pay the bills. I believe that that's why you're unhappy at work and looking for answers in books like Think and Grow Rich. Tom wasn't sure why, but he really didn't like hearing himself described as someone who was working just to pay the bills. That sounded like everyone else he knew, and made him seem too predictable, accepting his life just as it was. He didn't think of himself as predictable, but when Michael talked, he could see his life stretching out before him, dull, flat, and inevitable. He was suddenly reminded of his father and how he'd quietly soldiered on for years in a job he neither liked nor disliked. If he'd had dreams, Tom didn't know what they were, and he suddenly felt trapped and irritated at himself for feeling like that. Michael saw his discomfort and waited for Tom to get his thoughts together. Tom put his champagne glass down and thought about what he wanted to ask Michael. Lots of questions were running through his head, and he knew that his being in this seat on this plane was the most incredibly lucky break and that he had to seize it. He knew this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and thanked his lucky stars that he'd got this seat. In fact, he felt like he was going through his own personal masterclass with someone who was obviously a very successful, self-made millionaire. However, his old habit of self-doubt made him cautious. Although he wasn't sure Michael really would let him in on all his secrets, if he wasn't going to go for it now, he might never get another chance. Okay, if it isn't the money, then what is it? I warn you, I have lots of other questions too. Satisfied, Michael leaned back and thought for a moment. I'm delighted you have lots of questions, because I believe that it's from the mind that it all starts. He looked over at Tom. Tell me, what are you really passionate about? Tom looked surprised. He had his pen poised to make notes on how to be successful. He wasn't prepared for a question about something so vague. I guess, well, I don't know really, he said slowly, as he realized that actually he had never allowed himself to think about that. Not your job then? Asked Michael with a twinkle in his eye. Not at all, replied Tom. To be honest, when I think about my job, I see this treadmill with endless deadlines stretching ahead of me, and whenever you reach them, you have to start all over again doing the same thing. I know what the company wants is a very fast turnaround that will keep the customers happy with the minimum of input, but that doesn't satisfy me. The clients are unhappy because they aren't getting my undivided attention, and I don't master the new software completely before the next one is launched, and I have to start all over again with a new one. No, I certainly don't feel passionate about my work. Frustrated and fed up is more like it. Michael looked at him speculatively. Do you know why I got started in business? As Tom looked ready to respond, he continued on. It was because, as a young boy, I was obsessed with running. That was my passion. I was a sprinter, but in those days good training shoes were few and far between. My uncle had a market stall selling boots and slippers, and he got a few pairs of trainers in for me to try. They were okay, but I always wanted something better, faster, lighter. So I started trying to find suppliers so my uncle could stock them on the stall, but he wasn't really interested. So I started selling them myself. First to my school friends, and then I got my own market stall. From my passion for running, I ended up owning first one sports shop, then a chain, which I sold for over 100 million. In fact, you could say my business came out of the problem I had in not being able to satisfy my passion for great running shoes. Tom had been listening, fascinated. This successful-looking, clean-cut man certainly didn't look as if he'd ever seen a market stall, let alone run one. He thought for a moment, then said, "I wish I could say I had a passion like that. I've often thought I'd like to run a business, but really I have no idea where to start. Over the last year, I've read lots of books, listened to motivational business programs, and really made a study of success. I've loved doing that, but I still have no idea where my passion would lie." Michael was struck by the intensity in Tom's voice. He obviously was sincere and so much wanted to have some answers to his problems that Michael knew he had to try and help him. Think back a few years. Were there no interests or hobbies that you were completely absorbed by, almost addicted to? Tom closed his eyes for a few seconds, as if looking at an internal screen where he was reviewing his life. Slowly he nodded and had a reminiscent smile on his face. "Yes, actually, you're right. I was a very good junior tennis player, and I kept that up until I went to university. Unfortunately, once I started all that academic work, to say nothing of the social life, I just let it drop because there didn't seem enough time. So that was something I was passionate about once. I loved playing tennis. I felt totally alive. I never even minded the training." Michael had been watching Tom's face and seen the light in it, and how his voice had changed to sounding full of energy and conviction. He thought he'd try and go a bit deeper. "What do you think made you a good tennis player then, Tom?" "Oh, I suppose I was passionate about it, to use your word. When I was playing, I thought about nothing else, and when I stepped on that court, I believed that I was unbeatable. I was obsessed. I wanted to win so badly, and everything just seemed to fall into place when I was playing." Michael grinned at him. "You have just described some of the key characteristics of successful entrepreneurs. Passion, desire, and self-belief. No business can succeed unless you are really passionately obsessed and have a burning desire to succeed. You must love the challenge, and you can only do that when you're operating from your passion. It's where you connect your heart and your mind together. Like when you're in love. Remember when you first met your fiancée? Julie, wasn't it? You had to move right out of your comfort zone to ask her out, and you did it. We do amazing things for love. Take risks, conquer our fears and our limiting beliefs, all because of love. It can truly create magic in our lives, and that's why it's the first step, to find that passion for an idea, a service, or a business. Did you win any trophies for your tennis?" Tom wondered if Michael was signalling that he wanted to turn the conversation into more general areas, but here at least was something he could boast about. "Oh, quite a few. I used to take them home and my parents would put them on a shelf and proudly point them out to visitors." "Were they valuable trophies?" Michael asked. Startled, Tom laughed. "Not at all. They weren't expensive silver or anything like that. Probably worth very little, but I never even thought about it." "So," Michael persisted, "if they weren't worth much, you weren't playing for material gains, were you? So what were you playing for?" Tom thought about it. "For the pleasure of winning and competing. Every match was a challenge that I had to overcome. I never thought about anything else." "Exactly," said Michael. "Still think being successful is all about money?" Tom held his hands up in front of him in mock surrender. "Okay, it's true that the winning wasn't about money, but I'm still not convinced that it isn't a major factor for most people. I know that making a million would have a major impact on my life and circumstances right now." Michael could see that Tom was resistant to the idea that passion was more important than money, and he realized he had to get Tom to think a bit more deeply. "Okay, so you're not sure it's the money. Well, I know a lot of very successful entrepreneurs, all millionaires, and some of them even billionaires. All of them have more than enough money to retire and live in luxury for the rest of their lives. And yet they don't do it. They aren't sitting on a beach contemplating the ocean. They're out there starting new businesses. So if it isn't the money that's driving them, what do you think it is? How about greed? Tom flashed back, then laughed as he watched Michael's eyebrows go up. But he continued on. Well, if they're going on making millions, then there must be a good reason for it. And greed is a reason for some people. Most of us would just think about going off around the world, living on a golf course and playing 18 holes every day. So when I read stories in the business news about millionaires who don't retire, I do wonder why. Are you telling me that it's just passion that keeps them going? Yes, I am. And I'm also telling you that to be successful, you have to stop thinking like most of us, to use your phrase, said Michael. We just talked about love a few minutes ago. Successful entrepreneurs are so in love with their business that they can't think of anything more interesting and vital to be doing than working on that business. Even when they're sitting on that beach and looking at the ocean, they're still thinking about their business. Because when you're passionate and motivated to do something, then you're literally white hot with desire to make something happen. Michael grinned. Whether that's getting the girl of your dreams or starting your own company, the passion is the same. Tom was really enjoying himself now. This conversation was more fun than he'd experienced in a while, and he had the feeling that it was really taking him somewhere he wanted to go. Right, Michael, I surrender. It's about passion. But now I don't play tennis anymore, so where does that leave me? Michael smiled. You just have to find the thing that can raise your energy and get you fired up in exactly the same way. It can be an idea, a product, a service, or anything that makes you feel alive and confident that nothing else matters as much as that does. Find that, and I believe you'll start thinking like a successful entrepreneur, maybe even like a self-made millionaire. Tom looked up from writing in his notebook as something Michael said struck him. I just realized that you say, I believe, quite a lot. Is that deliberate? Yes, said Michael, I do. Because, as I told you, self-belief is critical to success. Saying I believe is a little device of mine to remind me of what I need to do to stay successful. Tom looked skeptical. But just saying I believe won't bring that kind of success. Michael laughed heartily as he shook his head. No, of course not. Just saying something doesn't change anything. Acting on it is what makes the difference. For me, I believe represents the principles of success that I've seen over and over again. Each letter of I believe gives me clues to the qualities that I'm looking for in myself and in any project I'm going to take on. We've already discussed the I and the B, for instance. Tom looked puzzled. We have? Michael nodded. Certainly we have. You, for instance, probably didn't register the I because you're still thinking like an employee. The I stands for I believe in myself. It's all about self-belief and it has to be total. You must have an almost unnerving belief in your ability to reach your goals. Tom wasn't sure about that. Sounds like arrogance to me, he said. No, it's very different, believe me, said Michael. You cannot pursue your goals if you don't believe in them 100%. It's not thinking that you are great, but that your idea is unbeatable, and that you'll do anything to make your customers believe in your product or service as much as you do. That's where the B of believe comes in. This stands for be passionate and want it. You have to be totally in love with your idea and have a burning desire to make it happen. Just remember, when you're passionate about something, you'll do it, whatever happens. It's your overwhelming desire that'll give you the determination, drive, and ultimately the commitment that you need to realize your business idea. It's all about belief, absolutely with no doubts. Believe in what you are doing, be totally passionate about your business idea, and be sure that it's something you would do even if you weren't getting paid for it. Not getting any trophies, for instance. Tom laughed and looked up eagerly. Right, if that's I and B, What's next? Obviously, it's the rest of the letters from I Believe. But first, have a think over what I've just said. Do some soul-searching to find out what it is that you're passionate about and what you believe in. And we'll get on to the rest later. Michael stood up, stretched, and strolled his way up the aisle. Although Tom was hoping for the secret of his success there and then, he smiled to himself as he realized that Michael wanted him to do some of the work too, and carried on writing in his notebook. Tom's notes. I believe in myself. There is a millionaire mindset and an employee mindset. It is your choice which one you have. There are 8 principles of success. You need to make sure you practice all of them, all of the time. You must develop unnerving belief in yourself as an entrepreneur. This is not arrogance, but self-belief. You can develop self-belief and confidence by stepping outside of your comfort zone. Self-doubt is the death of an entrepreneur. Be passionate and want it. Passion and love for your idea is the starting point as an entrepreneur. You must connect your heart and your head together around your winning business idea. You must have a motive for becoming a successful entrepreneur. Money is not a strong enough motivator. Pursuit of passion or avoidance of pain is. If you do something that you're motivated for, passionate about, and believe in, then untold magic will happen.